Girl Talk, it's all about men and how they chomp on the box. Episode number 105. Welcome to the Keep It 100 Girl podcast. It's brought to you by Target. You could expect more and pay less with Target and the Keep It 100 Girl podcast. Many households celebrate spring break over the next few weeks, and Target has some really great deals to help you make the most of your time off by making a splash with your wallets. The whole family's going to enjoy this. $15 off when you spend $75 on clothing, shoes, accessories, but it's only online. While the ladies will be able to stock up on swimwear with 50% off BOGO Women's Swim, the little ones also have a stake in this. This week, save 10% or more on all Fisher Price baby items. And those of you looking to cash in on all the big savings, make sure you share this podcast. And you are going to receive 25% off sheets, bed sets, towels, and an extra 10% off with this code. Are you ready? Refund, all in caps. All you got to do is this. Go to the show notes and click the shopping Target link. And if you don't know how to find them, you're going to look for that dot, dot, dot. If you're using an iPhone, it says view full description. And you know what? You just click that link and you will get straight to that Target shopping page. Or you could just follow me on social. I will publish the link for you. And you know what? It's all point and click and you're there. If you don't want to go searching in iTunes, Stitcher, I get it. I get it. I'm going to keep it simple and stupid.
A guy who was like that, we never had sex, that's all he wanted to do. And I was fine with it.
Sup, Girly Nation. Welcome back to another edition of my Keep It 100 Girl show. I'm coming to you live and direct from the nation's capital here in Washington, D.C. And I'm your hostess, Nina Babel, with the Keep It 100 Girl Mostess. And as always, I keep it 100, people. I keep it real. I keep it true. This is where people come forward and they tell me the truth, nothing but the truth, even if it's totally embarrassing or super cray-cray. I'm going to let you know this. I am unapologetically myself. This episode is the no food zone because I talk to you guys like I talk to my own girlfriends. Think about how you talk to your own girlfriends, especially if it's over the phone, din-din, over happy hour with drinks. This is the feeling I want you to experience on each of my episodes. But one rule of my podcast is we overshare. Girly Nation, are you ready to keep it 100? My hand is raised. How about yours?
Yes, I'm ready to keep it 100.
I'm ready to keep it 100, girl.
You know I'm going to keep it 100.
All right, quick recap. In last week's episode, you learned why girlfriend called her wedding off. And you know what? The point of it all is she has no regrets. Both the women I featured didn't realize how bad their situation was until it fell apart. And you know, a lot of times, a canceled wedding has always been viewed as social embarrassment. Because today's weddings, they're public affairs, from the engagement all the way through to the honeymoon. So you're going to hear some stories that will give you the chill bumps. Because everything from being on social media to calling off a wedding is something you probably never thought of. In last week's Morning Sip, we talked about dating your potential. You know, we're still figuring it out, and you're figuring out a bull in your 20s, but that's where it stops. The lesson is potential never comes to fruition, ladies. Accept a person for as they are today, their habits and how they make you feel. If anything, that's the most important. Even if dude had potential, it's a moot point, especially when they're doing nothing with it. So take a listen to episode number 103 and 104. But today, We have a candid Keep 100, no filter, NFSW combo, so be careful where you are. Haven't had a sex-related episode in a minute, so I thought I'd run it back. So I decided to share a special one, and it caters to both men and women and how you all could benefit from each other. So in this episode, you're going to hear about reactions to the following. Number one, the first time she got her box chomped. Number two, the struggles associated with that. Bet you didn't know there was any, huh? Number three, what she likes, what she doesn't like, what I like, what I don't like, what she likes, what I don't like, what I like, what she likes. You get the gist, right? Number four, pet peeves. We all have them, but Monique and I bring you that list. Number five, giving feedback. That is like the utmost crucial, knowing how to give and receive that constructively. I want you to meet Monica, also known as the Afro Hippie Vegan Author on social. She's a single millennial, and you know what? I'm going to hand the wheel over to her to introduce herself.
I'm Maniqua, but I am Afro Hippie on my Instagram, on my Twitter, and on my website. I am a self-proclaimed chef, but I've been cooking since I was about 9 or 10. In high school, I did dual enrollment classes at the community college. I did culinary arts. Cooking is just, it keeps me sane. I love cooking. I'll come home if I've had a bad day and I'll cook something and it completely takes my mind off of it. I love recreating dishes. I love creating new dishes. It's just fun to me.
So what would you say is your best dish or the one that you like to cook most or something you want
lasagna.
To share? Lasagna?
Yes, and you lasagna come up with probably all has to be my favorite.
And you have all these alternative substitutes that always catches my eye. So what would go in your lasagna?
Of course, the noodles, but you have to be careful with those because a lot of times noodles are made with egg. So the noodles, the cheese, I'll make the ricotta cheese myself with Brazil nuts. And as far as the other cheese, I'll use the field roast. Chow cheese, the tomato cayenne flavor. The meat, I'll use Beyond Meat beef crumbles. And then just regular tomato sauce. AfroHippieVegan.com, you can find basically everything on there. Even my book, I have everything linked on there to my Amazon. I also have YouTube, which is also on my website. It's linked to there. So everything, every kind of way to find me is on my website.
So this is the scene. Our goal is to be romantic in the most humanly possible way. But what goes with that is oral etiquette conversations like these, right? These Keep 100 moments. So this is two girls who are going to give men insight on what you're doing wrong. But it doesn't stop there. We're going to tell you what you're doing right too. Using real life experiences. Right? This is going to be a factual conversation. Monica and I had a frank girl talk about what irks us the most. And we call it those moments where, you know what, dude doesn't know what he's doing. Let me put it this way. Women know a good chomper in the first 10 to 20 seconds.
Well, I didn't make the post. I just saw it on someone else's page and I just reposted it. Simply because I've had a lot of experiences where men just don't know how to, as you say, chomp the box right.
The first time introduction to oral sex, I'll admit it's awkward because you don't know what to expect. In this next clip, Monica recalls that experience for us.
The first time it happened was with my first boyfriend. This was in high school, I was in 10th grade. And I didn't know what oral sex was. I had never heard of it, and he kind of introduced me to it. So the first time it happened, I was just like, now looking back on it, I was like, he didn't know what the hell he was doing. Because I hate how a guy tries to spread the vagina lips like wide open so he doesn't have like, you know, any hair in his face. And it's like, that hurts. That is not so good at all. Like, you're spreading it wide open and it's pulling on the clitoris. So no, that does not feel good. That was my first experience. And I was like, oh, okay. That's interesting. I don't know if I like that, but okay.
College is most of our first experiences. If you started before that, no judgment. But for the most of us, that's where we learn the ins and outs. But Monica calls it, it's all about the effort.
I didn't have my first good experience until I was in college. There was a guy who, he was very sloppy with it. And like, he put in work, got in there, put his whole face in there. I was like, okay, now this is what I'm talking about.
And you're getting into it.
Yes, you know, it's like, I feel like guys want you to, you know, put in so much effort when you're giving them oral sex, but then when it comes to for them doing it, they don't put as much effort into it.
Every guy needs a built-in GPS about the female anatomy. Don't you agree? One where they can navigate and find what they need to please their partner until it becomes second nature. Some women are fine with oral as part of their sex life. Hey, but you know why? Because they haven't had the opportunity to climax during sex yet. Here are some past Ove Struggle conversations from Girly Nation.
I am one of the lucky women that has an orgasm every time I have sex. So for me to think that people don't have that is ridiculous. Like, why the hell would you do it if you don't get there? What is the point if you don't get there?
So Monica shares her current experience, which falls under the line of a struggle, an O struggle, but I'll let her give you her perspective.
I actually had a guy who was like that. We never had sex. That's all he wanted to do. And I was fine with it. That's the only time I climax. I actually have never climaxed from penetration. And that's actually really frustrating.
Females make this decision all the time, right? They decide to stay celibate for one reason or another. But Monica discusses why she feels in this situation, it helps her get to that point. She wants to get to that point of no return and overcoming this O struggle.
Oral sex is going to be a given anyway, so it's not something I just think about. But now with the past few experiences, I'm like, okay, oral sex is not enough. So now I'm just like, okay, what is it that is blocking me from getting there? Is it something mental? Am I just not in the mood? Am I just not all there when I'm having sex with this person? Is it the person who I'm not all for? Like, so I think about stuff like that now, which is why I've chosen to be celibate, because it's just like, I need to figure out what it is about me that I need to focus on to get me to that point.
So what's the deal with these O struggles women have? Well, whether you're male or female, there are stigmas about not being able to climax or climaxing too soon and not pleasing your partner in the end. So Monica, like any other person, had the curiosity, went to the doctor to figure out, is this problem bigger than her mental state of mind? In this next clip, you know what? She sets the scene on what to expect when you go to the doctor.
It's funny because I was like, okay, is there something wrong with me? So I went to the doctor. Okay. I went to the doctor and I was like, listen, I've never had an orgasm from penetration and I need to know, like, what is the deal? So their whole process is just, it's a little weird. First of all, they use a vibrator and they insert it in your vagina and they tell you to squeeze and then to let go, like when you do Kegels. And the doctor told me, she was like, when you let go, your pelvic wall is still clenched, like it's not completely relaxed. I'm like, so what am I supposed to do to get it to relax? And she just told me to use a vibrator. I'm like, okay. I mean, obviously that still has not worked, but
I would think that would make situation worse. Because, you know, I'm not opposed to vibrators, but the only thing I will say is, like, to me, it like messes up your plumbing. Because you become addicted or reliant on that feeling. So that feeling doesn't resemble the guy's
what
cum,
happened.
Right? Right. or even in penetration, it's not the same. So, like, it's muscle memory, right? Your body responds to the way the vibrator is going to feel, or it's waiting for that. And if a guy's like inside you and not getting that,
it's mental. It's all mental. You have to envision. A guy told me that. You have to envision and kind of take yourself there to that place of fulfillment, and don't hold back that enjoyment with no shame, right? You just got to let go. Let go and have no inhibitions.
Oh, no, I'm a screamer. I'm very loud and I have no shame at all.
Right.
I mean, that's just how I've always been. It's just like, what's the point of just being quiet or, you know, moaning? Like, no, if it feels good, it feels good.
Right. I guess that's letting him know, too. Hey,
right.
That feels awesome and you hit the mark.
So how does that make you feel with your partner? What's the embarrassment with not being able to enjoy or share that same feeling of euphoria when it comes to having your orgasm, that O feeling?
Well, it's not embarrassing to me. I'll just let him know that, you know, I haven't had an orgasm. So then, I mean, he takes it upon himself to perform oral. I mean, that's just what it is. But I mean, a lot of times when I have had sex, it hasn't been with someone who I've been in a relationship with. I've had very few relationships. So, I mean, that could be a reason why, because I'm not emotionally connected to the person.
You have a point. So what attracts you to somebody?
Well, initial attraction is just like, I guess for everyone, their appearance. But for it to be a mental thing, it's just conversation. Just actually talking to someone who has good conversation, who is talking about things other than, you know, what's on television or what's in the news, like anything else but that.
Right.
So it's like mental stimulation, you know, getting me to think about things or getting me, you know, to question things. That's what attracts me to someone.
Now we're moving on to the most awaited moment of the episode, and it's the pet peeve list. This is where we get down, 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 down with a list of items that women find extremely bothersome and annoying when guys go downtown. Between the two of us, this is our abso-friggin-lutely not list. Number one, spitting out the hair.
In my experience with that, I mean, guys will, if they have hair in their mouth, they either lick my thigh, and I'll probably never notice.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I just assume that's what they're doing, but I've never had the experience of someone, like, spitting out the hair. So it's like, I've never known if anyone that has had hair in their mouth. So I don't know.
Yeah.
But I feel like that would be kind of, like, why are you doing that? It's all that necessary. I mean, if I'm laying on the bed, hell, lick the bed or something to get the hair off or something, but don't just sit there and just spit it out.
Yeah, it's like the whole wiping of the mouth on the leg. I get it. That to me is
right.
Incognito. I still know what you're doing, but incognito. But the whole, if you're like trying to pull the hair from your lip, or maybe it's in your teeth, but you just kind of do one of those, not an actual spit, but a spitting motion. Yeah, it's just, I never liked that. It's like a pet peeve of mine.
Number two, Rhythmless Nation.
One of my pet peeves is guys who are like, who have no rhythm with their tongue. They're just kind of all over the place. And it's like, no. You know, I mean, you know, make sexual emotions. Go on the side. Go back and forth, you know. Don't just be like, I don't know, scribble scrabble all over the clitoris. That annoys me.
Yes, I could relate to that.
Number three. He doesn't. What? How is that even possible?
But I got another one for you, too. What if, have you ever met the guy that says he doesn't go down?
Yes, and he expected me to go down on him, and I was like, you've lost your mind. If you think I'm going to suck your dick, you're not going to go down on me. That's not going to happen. Yeah, because nowadays it's like, you know, guys brag about that all over social media, you know, that they, you know, stomp the box or whatever. And for a guy to sit here and tell me that he doesn't do that, it's like, I mean, no offense to anyone who's gay, but are you gay? I mean, that's the first thing that comes to mind. Like, if that's something that you don't do, like, why? What's your reasoning? I mean, I can understand if he's had, like, a bad experience, but, I mean, we've all had bad experiences. It doesn't mean that we don't try it again.
Number four, the spot. That going crazy feeling. And when it's there, and then when it's gone.
Yes. And I think I had one experience with that where the guy knew, like, where my spot was, and he knew when I was about to climax. That's the best kind, when he knows when you're about to climax.
Right. Timing. Right, because that's when they go for the kill, even more.
Mm-hmm.
Or they're supposed to. For those of you guys listening who don't know, that's when you go for the kill.
Yes. I mean, like, even when she tells you, like, that if a woman tells a guy, like, you know, when she's about to climax, he should continue to do what he's doing. Don't change it up. Like, I've had one guy do that, and made me so mad. Every single time I would tell him, don't move. And he would move, and then my climax would just
disappear.
Yes.
That is the worst feeling, because it's like a dream, right? You try to go back to it. Like, you wake up, but you try to go back to that good dream you're having. You can't. You got to start from, like, zero back up to 100. Keep it 100.
And the thing is, I know how long it takes me to climax. So if you're down there longer than, like, 5-10 minutes, there's a problem.
Oh.
Because it does not take me that long. If you're doing it correctly, it will be within minutes.
Number five. So is that a function of being celibate, then sexually active, or is it a normal kind of thing, also known as status quo? Listen up to find out.
I guess it's kind of both. I mean, because if, for example, a few years ago, I had been celibate for about 3 years, and then I finally had sex with someone, and he went down on me, and it happened fairly quickly. Faster than any other time. But I mean, it just really depends.
Number six, what she likes, what I don't like, what I like, what she doesn't like.
I think you just stay down there for longer, you know? Stay a little longer. And, you know, I think to make sure that the girl is comfortable and not self-conscious about anything, how it smells, how it looks, how it tastes, and just make sure that you let her know you enjoy all of it, even if you don't.
Now, one thing that I can say that I like is when a guy, you know, doesn't wipe his face afterwards, after I've climaxed, and he just has it all over his face and just leaves it there. Like, I'm just like, wow. Now, that
really?
Turns me on. Yes, that turns me on.
I don't want to see it. I'm just like, can you wipe your face?
Well, the thing is, mine is like, it's clear, so it's just like, it looks like water on his face.
You know what? For me, it's the smell.
Really?
You know, it's like I'm smelling myself. But it's a different smell, right? It's a sex smell.
I like the smell. I like how I smell. Yeah, I think during sex, I'm just, I don't like that smell. Although, I had another, you just reminded me, when, this is a turn on for me, is when a guy says, you taste good. I never,
yes.
I think the first time I heard that, I was like, how is that possible? Because, you know, you taste test. And I'm just like, I don't taste anything. Personally, like, I know my smells. I'm very familiar with my different scents as they vary throughout the month. But naturally, and I eat a lot of fruit. And you know, as a vegan, too, like, it's all about what you eat.
Right.
It gives off your scent. But yeah, so when I hear that on a consistent basis, I'm like, what? You know, I'm like, okay. I never really pieced together the whole diet thing, like, or if I ate fruit, let's say, for that week constantly before we were intimate. Like, I never was strategic about it.
Uh-huh.
Until, like, I discovered, like, the whole pineapple thing. But, you know, if I hear that, it doesn't faze me anymore. It's like, okay, so, you know, I'm obviously eating the same thing all the time. So it's my hygiene in addition to diet.
Number 7, her taste test.
I guess for me, I taste test myself daily. So, I mean, I have no problem with a guy, you know, having on his face and then kissing me with it on his face. I have no problem with that.
Number 8, his and her scents.
Both of us, right? So it's like if it was just kind of like a spontaneous moment where it's like take off your clothes and a quickie, then you can't help it. But that's when I'm more apprehensive. Right. That's when I'm more apprehensive, opposed to like having the opportunity to take a shower.
I've had those spur of the moment times, but I mean, like, I guess it's just in my experience, I have guys who just don't care. I mean, even if it's like, you know, I've been sweaty and whatever, there are guys who just don't care. They like the way that it smells when you've been sweating.
I
I'm just
know.
Like, okay, that's weird,
do.
But I mean, hey, if you like it, I love it.
I think guys are just like that. Sweat doesn't faze them, whether it's them or her. Or, but for me, I don't know. It does. But I'm not, like, snobby about it. Like, if it's the heat of the moment, I'm not going to deny that. I mean, sweat during sex is just, to me, a confirmation that we both just, you know, got into it and enjoyed it. So sweat is a good thing. Yeah, guys don't care. They don't have that sweaty sensor that girls normally do. All
right. Because my thing is, if you're both smell like sweat, there's 100% chance that I'm not going to give you oral sex.
Number 9, he smells.
Like I said, I'm a very vocal person. And I'm going to tell you, like, if a guy, if his balls stink, I'm going to tell him I'm not going to give you head until you go and take a shower.
Number 10, hair or no hair?
For me, the hair, that's never really bothered me. I mean, if
no.
guys have hair, like, that's something that's never bothered me. I mean, I guess because it's just a natural thing, but, like, for me, I don't wax. I keep myself trimmed, but, I mean, it's either way. If he's shaved, if he's not, it doesn't matter to me. As long as I can see it, I'm good.
Number 11, right there.
The problem is if they listen.
Right.
Number 12, the one. It was different. And I knew it.
I had a guy who, he like you had mentioned before, like after, you know, the first climax, now you have to stop because it becomes very sensitive. Well, right. I had a guy who was very relentless, and he was adamant on, you know, making me have multiple orgasms. And I'm just like, after the first time, it becomes a little uncomfortable. You have to give me like a couple minutes. But with him, it was just, it was different. Like, he was able to, you know, make them keep coming. And I'm just like, where can I get another guy like this who has the ability to do that?
Interesting.
Because when I climax, it's like my whole body becomes super sensitive. Like, I just don't even want you to touch me. But with
exactly.
him, it was just, it was different.
Huh.
And it's like, what is it about? I guess, I don't know if it was the way he was doing it or what. I mean, this was in college, so this was a long time ago. But I was like, if I can have a guy who can do what he did, I'd be
right.
okay.
Number 13, recovery period. What's the double standard? Maybe it's the same difference? If there's one thing we both want guys to know, is that we need breaks to recover.
Guys don't realize, like, when they come, you know, their dicks get sensitive. And it's just like, that's the same thing with women. Like, why don't they understand that? Like, if you, you know, can't keep going after you come, what makes you think I can?
Number 14, the ice trick.
That is the best, with the ice. With the ice
yeah.
everywhere, actually.
Huh, I never would have thought of that.
Yes, ice everywhere on my thighs, on my legs, my breasts, my arms, neck, everywhere. Yes.
Yeah, that was definitely. And it's funny because it's like he was the only one that I don't think guys know to use ice or experiment with ice. But guys were telling you, we want ice.
I guess it has to do with their experiences and what they know about women, how they know how women will react to certain stimulants. They have to know the, you know, female anatomy. They have to know how a woman wants things done. I mean, because a lot of times women aren't going to say anything. And this is what I've heard from guys, that, you know, women will not tell them, oh, I like this, or oh, I don't like that. Like, if I'm telling a guy that I don't like this, that he's not doing it right, and he'll say, I never had any complaints, well, you know, that's their fault that they didn't say anything. But I'm telling you that I don't like it, and I want you to do something different. You know, or I want
right.
you to try something new.
Number 15, pulse checks are normal, and they're not offensive.
Well, they don't want to hurt the man's feelings, but I feel like women who don't say anything are doing them a disservice, because if they don't last, then he goes to the next woman thinking that, oh, this is okay because, you know, she didn't say anything, she liked it. No, like, women, y'all need to say something. If the guy is not doing something right, or if he's doing it a way that you don't like, tell him. Don't just, you know, let it keep going, because he's going to think that he's the shit, you know, and go to the next woman and be like, okay, I'm going to do this, and she's going to like it. No.
I think it's a saving face thing, right? Especially, like, during the act, maybe a woman's thinking, you know, I don't want him to stop, or I don't want him to think that I'm being a boss in the bedroom. I don't know, I'm just reading, but maybe she's trying to let him be the man or continue to be the man.
Number 16. People just don't know how to talk about sex. Women don't know what to say. She didn't have the sex talk and attributes her learning from her first boyfriend, friends, porn, and the internet.
I think
yeah.
that the lack of communication between men and women when it comes to sex is non-existent. And people don't know how to talk about sex. I openly talk about sex. I will talk about it with anyone. I would talk about anything.
And so, like, when you meet somebody, is that something, like, you warm up to? Or are you, like, as comfortable as you are, you just talk about it right off the bat? Like, what's the timing
yeah,
for you?
I'll just talk about it. I mean, sex is something that, you know, I guess a lot of people see as taboo or whatever, but I mean, everybody needs sex. Like, everyone has sex. I mean, that's a necessity in a relationship. So why not talk about it? I mean, I talk about it with my girlfriend. You know, I talk about it with my mom, though I don't want her to talk about it. I'll talk about it with her. To me, it's just, that's just something that I'm just open about. I always have been. Because I'm comfortable with talking about it. I'm comfortable with my sexuality.
And at what point did you become comfortable?
I guess the first time I was in a relationship with someone, like my first boyfriend, we talked about it. And I think at that point, this was in high school, even though he wasn't my first, at that point, I became more comfortable talking about it because I didn't have that conversation with my mom, the whole sex conversation or anything. And so it's something that I learned on my own. And I was just like, oh, this is not as bad as, you know, people make it seem. You know, parents want to tell you that, you know, sex is bad and, you know, bad things come from it. No, not necessarily.
Go crazy. Girl, wild out, go crazy. Don't play me with it. Don't play me with it.
Giving feedback to him. When a girl senses dude doesn't know what he's doing, look, feedback is required. I asked Monica, what is her signature way of communicating that message without offending him? Most women struggle with this fine line of communication because we don't want to embarrass ourselves or even him, right? It's all about that saving face.
First, I'll tell him to stop. And then explain to him that what he's doing is not helping. That's not going to get us anywhere. And just explain to him how I like it done. Like, what will make me climax? You know, I mean, if I'm laying there, I shouldn't have to be moving my hips to redirect your tongue. That's annoying. And I think with that, it's like, I feel like there's no communication between men and women on what we like as far as when it comes to sex. I think we just jump into it and just expect that what we're doing is working for them and that it's good when 9 times out of 10, it's probably not. It could also be from, I guess, past partners. Knowing that what you're doing is what they like, but everyone's different.
Right.
What your ex-partner likes is not going to be what this partner likes as well.
This is the girl wisdom right here. For every girl to take away, and you guys too, so crank up the volume.
I'm a very vocal person. I'm not just going to lay there and be like, you know, just take it if I don't like it. No, if I don't like it, I'm going to tell him, you know, stop. Like, listen to me when I'm moaning or when I'm screaming. That should give you indication of whether it's good or whether it's not.
Do you think guys know that, or we just assume that? Is that a safe assumption?
I think that is an assumption, but I also feel like, you know, if a guy is really into this woman, like if they're in a relationship and he really wants to please her, he'll pay attention to her body. He'll pay attention to the sounds that she's making. Like, he'll pay attention to all of that. But I mean, like, if he's just there to get his nut and be done, he's not going to pay attention to that. He's not going to care.
Monica and I were talking about, look, how can we remove this whole mental block thing just to get her there? For starters, a relationship is a prerequisite. And there has to be a level of trust, and in some cases, a dash of 50 Shades of Grey.
There has to be some kind of level of trust with this person. Like, if I'm with this person and we're just having sex, then no. But if it's someone that I'm, like, in a relationship with who is open to trying different things, because I'm open to trying anything except bringing other people into the room. But I have yet to meet that person. Who I have that level of trust with, because I'm into things that are like 50 Shades of Grey level. That's, I'm interested in stuff like that. But it's like, what guy has knowledge of how to do that safely?
7654321.
You'll never have the sacred stone.
Oh, this you crazy mother.
The world is full of critics already. So why add another one? Well, this episode, it's meant to be encouraging in a Keep 100 way for those of you out there who could use a little help in getting us there. And also for those of you who just have a hard time articulating what you want. Bottom line, you want to get us there. And we want you to get us there too. To make sure that we're all having an absolute best time possible, Monica and I, we just pointed out the ways in which you're falling short and offer some tips to help you do it better.
Go crazy, girl, wild out, go crazy.
And that wraps up another episode of the Keep It 100 Girls Show. We celebrate embarrassment. And you know what? Nina's going to suggest things that will make you say, has she lost her mind? The fact that you all are being honest and open is a really true testament of keeping it 100 and what it really means. In addition to my own experiences, real women give their mother friggin' advice, and they're going to express all their personal bloopers when it comes to all the sensitive, girly stuff.
Nina's purpose is to empower women to celebrate women's embarrassing moments. If you're too shy, nervous, or embarrassed to ask about sensitive, girly stuff, you're in the right place.
Every week, Nina reveals your tell-all experiences, aha moments, advice, and lastly, mother-frigging girlfriend knowledge. People, I am here to empower you every week and give you that weekly dose so you realize your worth. So was this episode good for you? Because guess what? New episodes of the Keep 100 Girls Show drop every Tuesday on iTunes, SoundCloud, Google Play Music, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Auto Radio, and iHeart Radio. But before you go, I want you to give me some love on iTunes and Stitcher. You're going to mash up that podcast icon on your phone by kindly leaving me a 5-star rating and review. I rely on it. Seriously, it helps me stand out. It helps me grow. It helps the show grow. And it helps you guys understand yourselves better, right? Whether it's a self-care thing, a self-love thing, whether it's women understanding men and men understanding women. You know, I just keep it real and true, to be honest. So the next episode is going to be on Friday. It's the Keep It 100 moment. If you're not familiar, it's a 10-minute moment where, you know what, Nina vents, she shares a lesson, or just a real moment that took place in my life or yours. And that's my reel for today. Smooches! So first place, let him know it's real. Let me see it shake. Throwing all my money, go crazy. Girl, I wanna see you go crazy. Wanna see you move, girl? Let's go crazy.